Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'd like to just review some principles in giving to missions as we prepare for our Faith Promise Sunday and seek God's will concerning what God would have us to do collectively as a people through the missions program of this church. We can't all go, but yet we can just as much have a part in reaching this world for Christ through our missions giving. So let's review some principles tonight from chapter 8, and if time prevails, chapter 9, on what does it mean to be missions-minded when it comes to supporting missionaries through our offerings. Note then, chapter 8, verses 1, 2 and 3, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to witness of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Let's bow for prayer. Our God, we're thankful for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask now that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. Teach us from your word. Remind us, refresh our minds, O God, concerning principles of giving to missions. And Lord, have thy will and way in each of our hearts as we seek your mind and your will as to our part in supporting the missions program of this local church. We pray, O God, that you'd also prepare our hearts for your table as we remember your broken body and your shed blood on our behalf. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. This morning we noted there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that the Apostle Paul charged the church at Corinth to take up a collection for the saints, for God's people there in Jerusalem. And we stressed the fact that this is a part of this was a part of the worship service of God's people, and he exhorted them to demonstrate God's grace and to do their part in supporting the work of God beyond their locality. And that's what missions is all about, is it not? That we're supporting the saints as they serve the Lord in other localities. We can't be in more than one place at one time, but we can get behind those that are serving the Lord. And the Apostle Paul exhorted the church there at Corinth to consider giving an offering to the needs, or for the needs of that church there in Jerusalem, so that the work of God would continue on. And now we move into 2 Corinthians, and as you can imagine, the people within this church were a little bit slow off the mark. And he has to write to them again and exhort them to do that which they promised they would do. They put their hands up and said, "Yes, we will give." But yet a year has passed and nothing's happened. So the Apostle Paul writes and he exhorts them and gives them some principles concerning giving towards the work of God elsewhere. So let's just review this evening some principles that will help us, that will inspire us to be missions-minded. And the first principle I'd like for us to review tonight is found there in verse number 2, where the Apostle Paul uses as an illustration to encourage the church at Corinth, he makes reference to the churches of Macedonia, and he said there in verse number 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. So in other words, he stressed to the church of Corinth that if you and I are to be a missions-minded church, that we need to be mindful that it's not dependent upon ideal circumstances. And the Apostle Paul makes reference to the churches of Macedonia that were poor materially, yet they were very generous in their giving. So as you and I consider our part in the missions program of this church, it's not dependent upon ideal circumstances. The Bible talks about their abundance of joy, that even though they were a people that endured great difficulties, yet they were full of God's joy, and that joy was reflected in their generosity in supporting the work of God. So I'd like to encourage you, remind you this evening that being involved in the missions program of this church and doing your part in giving to missions is not dependent upon ideal circumstances. But note then verse number 3 that it reads, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing to give of themselves." So these believers that the Apostle Paul makes reference to from the churches of this region called Macedonia, which is basically the area of Europe today, these believers stretched themselves. They were willing to stretch, and they were willing, first and foremost, to give of themselves. They were willing to be involved. And if you and I are to be involved in the missions program, it begins with a willing heart. And these believers that the Apostle Paul makes reference to, they were a people that were willing to go beyond their power. They were willing to be stretched. Are you willing to be stretched for the cause of world evangelism? Are you game? Are you courageous enough to say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do with my missions giving this year?" Instead of just working from a budget that is very comfortable and achievable, are we prepared to be stretched? Are we prepared to say, "By faith, God, what do you want me to do?" And these believers from the churches of Macedonia, they were willing to be stretched. And I like to make reference to the elastic band. Elastic bands are made to be stretched. And we as Christians are made to be stretched. God wants us to stretch a little. Are you willing to be stretched? And note there number 4, praying us that were much entreaty that we would receive the gift. So the Apostle Paul's exhorting the church at Corinth. Now you promised that you'd get involved in giving a missions offering to this church at Jerusalem, and we'd like to encourage you to honour what you said you would do. And then he reminded the church at Corinth, "Take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." That we need to be mindful that you and I being involved in our missions offering, it's an opportunity to minister to the saints. Remember, we are our brother's keeper, are we not? And we have a responsibility to God's people, especially for those dear missionaries that are sacrificing to be on a mission field and paying a price that you and I could never really fully appreciate on a personal level. And we need to minister to them as God's people, serving the Lord. And we need to be mindful that as we give to missions as a church family, we're giving to real people. Now, how encouraging it is for our missionaries to know that the people of Metropolitan Baptist Church are supporting them. Time and time again, I get missionaries that will say to me, "Pastor, thank you, thank you, thank you for being so faithful. We just know that we can rely that support that you have promised will be there. Thank you, thank you, thank you." And we want to be able to continue to do that, amen, and be faithful. And we need to bear in mind that as we give to missions, it's not a matter of just putting money in a offering bag. It's going to people. It's ministering to the saints. We have an opportunity to fellowship with the saints through our mission support. Look at verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So as the Apostle Paul made reference to these believers, verse number 1, from the churches of Macedonia, even though they were very poor, they were prepared to stretch themselves. And how is it that they were prepared to stretch themselves and be generous? Is because God had their heart. They first gave of their own selves to the Lord, as it reads there in verse number 5. First gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. And if we're to be consistent in our missions offering, beloved, God wants your heart. If God has your heart, if God has my heart, then He has my wallet. He has your wallet. He has your purse. As my purse. God wants you. And if God has you, then He has all that you have, because God has you. And if we're to know the will of God, the mind of God, as to our part in supporting missionaries, God wants you and I to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And if we will just simply do that, God can work, and then God has the means to guide us and lead us into his perfect will. Look at verse 6. Inasmuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So Titus is the approved courier sent by the Apostle Paul, the Corinthian church said, yes, we're happy for Titus to come and collect the missionary offering, because that was how you did it in those days. You didn't have the facilities as they have today. I'm going to send Titus to you, and he's willing to come, and I want you to be ready. You promise you'd support this ministry. Let's put feet to what you said you would do. And then look at verse number 7. He writes, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in other words, as you grow in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What's this grace in reference to? Their giving, their missions offering. So you'll note from the scriptures that giving to missions is often referred to as giving by grace, or grace giving. It's not the tithe. The tithe belongs to God. It's beyond that. It's giving by grace. And there in verse number 7, as the Apostle Paul encouraged the church of Corinth, he said, now you need to abound, you need to be involved, and you need to keep growing, you need to keep stretching in the area of your faith and in your speech and in your knowledge and your diligence and your love, but also in this grace also. So in other words, just like we need to grow in other areas of our spiritual life, we need to grow in this area of giving by grace to missions. It's an area of growth, see? And as you and I seek the will of God, and we ask God, Lord, what will you have me to do for world evangelism this coming year? It's an opportunity for us to grow in faith, to trust God to provide, and to trust God that by faith, though this really doesn't make much sense according to my books, I will give. And I'm going to trust you, God, to provide my needs as I do what you call me to do. So missions giving is an opportunity for us to grow spiritually in this realm of faith. There are some churches today that still have this idea that they will just set aside 10% of their general offering to missions. Sounds strange, doesn't it? That's what a lot of churches do. They have their general offering, their tithes, and they, from their tithes, they will set aside 10%. Well, the problem with that is then there's no room for faith. And it doesn't distinguish, I don't see from the scriptures that you, the tithe is the Lord's. And it comes into the storehouse. They that preach the gospel should preach off the gospel. So the tithe is used for the maintenance of the local church. And beyond that, we have the grace of giving. That involves faith. There's no faith involved in just giving your tithe, is there? There's no faith for a church to just take 10% of all the tithes and say, okay, that's missions money. Where's the faith? Nothing. Zilch. Zero. Negative. Nothing. But the just shall live by faith. God wants us to live by faith. So we give our tithes unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. But beyond that, I give by grace. I'm not going to tell you what to give. That's between you and the Lord. But give God your heart first and foremost. Allow Him to have His will in your life. And that involves some faith. And you will grow. So being involved in the missions program of the church means that you and I will grow as a result. Look at verses 8 and 9, please. I speak not by commandment. In other words, he said, I don't want to come across as if I'm just commanding you. I don't want you to give just because I'm on your back, so to speak. That's what he's saying. But by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. In other words, I want to motivate you to give to missions because of your love for God's people and your love for the Lord. I don't want you to give because I'm on your back, in other words. And church family, I don't want you to give to missions because I'm on your back. I want you to give to missions because you love the Lord and you love God's people. And you love the Lord, you love God's people, and we want to help God's people reach this world for Jesus Christ. Your love for the Lord, your love for people, on these hang all the commandments, said the Lord Jesus. Love God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. So the Apostle Paul said, I don't want you to provide this offering because I'm on your back and I'm telling you that Titus is on his way, he's halfway there and he'll be knocking on your door at any moment. No, I want you to give because of your love for the Lord. And your love for God's people and your love for souls, and you want people to go to heaven and you want people to hear about heaven, and just like you heard about heaven, you want others to hear about heaven. Yes, even you want Muslims to hear about heaven, and you want Hindus to hear about heaven, and you want the Buddhists to hear about heaven, and you want the atheists to hear about heaven. So may the love of God in our hearts motivate us. And the Apostle Paul said that our motivation should be first and foremost our love for the Lord Jesus and our love for people. Look at verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And ye through his poverty became flesh, might be made rich. Our motivation should be our love for the Lord Jesus. We give to missions not because we have to. Nobody's going to make you give to missions. I don't look around noting who gives the missions. You might notice that. It's none of my business. It's between you and the Lord. God's looking. God's looking. And God sees. It's between you and the Lord, and we want you to give. I want to give because I love the Lord. I love people, and I want people to go to heaven. God created hell for the devil and his angels. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I want people to hear that message. So our love for Christ, our love for others. And then verse number 10 and 11, he calls for a commitment, and we need to be committed. Look at verse 10 and 11. For herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, as you have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. A year has passed, he said to the church at Corinth. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, you've had good intentions, I know, said the Apostle Paul, so there may be a performance also of that which ye have. Okay, your motives are pure. Well, let's do something about it. And it's so important that we are committed. And as you seek the will of God, and as I seek the will of God in supporting missionaries, let's be committed, amen? Because I delight in missionaries saying to me, Pastor Schiavone, thank you very much. Thank you for being so predictable. We just know that our support will be there. You know why they're so thankful? Because for many, the support is not there. If it turns up, it turns up. How would you feel if you were on that side of the fence? How would you feel having a paycheck turning up one week and not turning up the next week? Nor the next week, nor that week. Oh, then you get another paycheck then. How would you feel? No back pay. How would you feel? You'd say, that's not fair. That's not right. Exactly. So the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, you said you would help years past. I know your motives are pure, but let's do it. Amen? Let's do it. Let's be committed. I praise God for church family that has been committed. And as far as I can remember, each missionary support that we've promised, we've kept. Praise God. You know, I don't recall a time in my 23 years of pastoring this church of ever having to say to a missionary, I know we promised you $200 last month, but we can't pay that. Never. Praise God. Praise God for this church family. And look at verses 13 to 15, and I'll close with this. Look at verses 13 to 15. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdens, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. I want you to focus on that word equality. Equality. As we support missionaries, God will provide our needs. And the Apostle Paul is saying, as I'm encouraging you to give this missions offering, it's not a matter of you relieving them so they can breathe a little, and you in turn stress because you have nothing, you gave what you had, so now they are at ease and you are burdened. No. Equality. And that is that as you provide the needs of others, God will provide your needs. That's God's economy. So we give by faith, grace giving. By faith I give what God lays upon my heart to give, as it reads there in chapter 9. Look at chapter 9, verse number 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Doesn't say every man according as pastor tells him. No, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. God doesn't need our money. Don't insult God to think that he needs your money. No, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
For God loveth a cheerful giver. So as you and I launch out by faith and say, Lord, what do you want me to give to missions? Purposeth in his heart. And be ready for it. God will lay a finger on your heart. God the Holy Spirit, he will. Don't you worry. You just take a deep breath and you wait and God will lead you. So you give, let every man give as he purposeth in his heart, not what I tell you or you suggest to one another. So we give by faith, a faith promise, missions offering. And as we ease the burden of others by helping them, then God in his grace will exercise equality and God will provide our needs. And as we've stressed in the past, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need, all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now we like to quote that, don't we? But please read verse 15, 16, 17 and 18 and then read verse 19. And you will see that that promise is for that person that gives to missions. It's a promise that can be claimed by a person that gives to missions. My God shall supply all my needs as I meet the needs of others. And that fits in here with verses 13 to 15. Be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. God is no man's debtor. So in summary, beloved, as you and I seek the will of God and we give as God leads us to give to missions, God promises to provide our needs. If you are a faithful supporter of missionaries, God will provide your needs. Yes, he will. Above and beyond you can imagine. And I think many of us can testify of that very fact. Chapter 9, verse 15 reads, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift of God which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And may God help us to do our part in helping others to have the opportunity to receive that gift as we support missionaries. May God add his blessing to his word this evening. Let's bow for prayer.